Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Buckhead, Atlanta, it's time for Simply Buckhead Radio with your host, publisher, and founder, Joanne Hayes.
All right, people are bebopping to that that new sound. That Simply Buckhead Radio has a certain jingle and sound to it. Yeah.
We love the jazz.
It's pretty jazzy, yeah, absolutely. So, by the way, Rich Castanova here for another edition of Simply Buckhead Radio. Of course, our VIP, our host, and for the show is Joanne Hayes. Welcome to back to your second show. This is the second episode,
right?
Thank
you so much. Our first episode was wonderful. We had three amazing guests and spoke a lot about charity and philanthropy, which is part of our mission here in Buckhead.
Yep, and you have some updates from last night's events and what have you. But just for those who are just tuning in, this is just your second episode, so Simply Buckhead. Your mission here is to kind of get the good word out, what's going on in the Buckhead community.
Yes, right? And also to highlight and bring to the public awareness those folks in the Buckhead market who are doing great things in philanthropy and business, personally. And we always have lots of great editorial. And of course, that's the same in our brand new issue.
Yeah, lifestyle and travel and just all the good news going on. So speaking of Simply Buckhead, the newest issue is just now out on the streets, right? So what are some bullet points or some highlights for readers to they might want to tune in and check out?
Well, this particular issue, Michelle Stumpy, who was one of our guests on the first show, is on the cover. It's a gorgeous shot. Michelle is the founder of the nonprofit Children of Conservation, and she spoke about that last week. There's five other do-gooders in this particular cover story, and just timely enough to Michelle's project is we also had an Africa story written by Gina Smith Bedford, who we give a shout out to today. She had her lovely baby daughter on Sunday.
Wow, congratulations to her.
Mm-hmm. So the Simply Buckhead family is growing. The magazine is growing. Our distribution is growing. We put out 24,000 copies and distribute in over 250 locations in the Buckhead, Brookhaven markets and a little bit in the Sandy Springs area as well as the International Terminal.
All right. And we were talking before the show is I thought it was kind of cool is that I went online and was able to at your site find I live over in Sandy Springs and you cover obviously the concentration, the epicenters in Buckhead, but also Brookhaven, Sandy Springs kind of perimeter or the outskirts of Buckhead. Living over in Sandy Springs, I went online and was able to find pinpoint the exact locations where I could pick up my copies.
We love it. That's due to our great webmaster, Jason McCullough.
Yeah, but I intentionally did not pick up a copy because we're pretty excited. We're featuring a couple of our underwriters, and literally I'm just opening to page 92 for the first time and seeing Peachtree Offices and their display ad in here as well. So we have, I just wanted to see that live on the air and the first time checking it out. So I got to read the rest of the publication. The other, how many other pages besides?
Oh my goodness, it's 104 pages this time. So it's a lovely issue and we just fall in love with it every time we put one out. We think it's our best and then we do another one and we think it's our best. So
it
just gets better every time. And we're very excited and thankful for the support of the community and the advertisers and just the loyalty that we've built here in Buckhead.
Well, we appreciate you kind of taking the lead on Simply Buckhead Radio because as an underwriter, you're making things happen, helping us get the good word out. So before we jump into our guest real quickly, just for our listeners again and those folks that just kind of knew the area, where would they pick up? How many distribution points? What's some of the stats on?
We have 24,000 copies in 250 locations in Buckhead and Brookhaven. You can actually find them on our website at simplybuckhead.com where it says read an issue. Just click on the find a copy link, plug in your zip code, and boom, all the locations will show up in front of you.
I understand since last week you have now the domain name. You have a new domain name?
We do. We own simplybuckheadradio.com as well.
Nice, yeah. She's a media mogul right now, right here, starting in Atlanta. So
yes.
Having said that, let's jump in and introduce our guest before we jump into the interview. So who's joining you in the studio this afternoon?
Well,
and then it's pretty much yours from here on out. You good?
Terrific. We're good.
I should mention I'm going to take some photos. So if you're looking around, I'm going to do some for social media shots as the engineer. So
that sounds great.
All right, let's find out who's on the radio this afternoon.
Okay, we have three guests today. We have the lovely Sandra Grimaldi Cawley, who is a singer and model. And she's going to be talking to us about a lot of topics, charitable work and her Mrs. Georgia United States title holder experience and much, much more.
And so welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
We're so glad to have you. We've met Sandra through our affiliation with Cure Childhood Cancer.
Oh, nice. They were on last week.
Yes. So awesome. We had Kristen Connor here last week. And our next guest is Jessica Camerata.
Hello.
And she has a blog site, and she tweets at My Style Vita. And we've actually written about Jessica in our publication before.
But first time meeting in person,
yeah. Absolutely. Nice. Absolutely. That's the fun. Yeah. And our third guest is Rosina Seidel, who I've also been communicating with on Twitter and in cyberspace for the last 4 years, and we'd never met in person.
Wow.
And I know her brother quite well from our affiliation with the Atlanta Hawks. So we're pleased to have Rosina. She is a luxury realtor with Dorsey Alston Realtors. And welcome, Rosina.
Thank you. Hello.
Yeah, so we're going to jump right in with Rosina first, because I really feel like the three guests we have here today, all of them are very tech savvy in their own way and have used social media to help their businesses grow. And Rosina, I'd love to hear from you, first of all, how you use social media to grow your presence.
Well, I guess probably the best way I think about social media is when I was able to do my yearbook page as a senior in high school, and you kind of have to compile a lot of different elements of your life and your lifestyle into one page. So every time I think about a property that we represent or a lifestyle, something that's going on in Buckhead or Midtown or Brookhaven, I like to put it on social media because it kind of gives people an idea of who I am and why would you want to work with me? I mean, there's a lot of real estate agents out there, and I feel like I'm an interesting person because I've lived in other places. I grew up in Buckhead, but I've lived in other countries, and I lived in New York. I went to school up there, so I can reach a lot of different demographics, and that's why I like social media, because you can put all that out, and everybody can look at it just like a yearbook page.
Well, I know that you have several Twitter handles. So you do at Rosina Atlanta and at Atlanta Lifestyles. So is there a difference between those two sites? Is one more of a personal?
Rosina Atlanta would be where you would just, if you want to see what I'm doing all day. I get a lot of questions about my brother and sister-in-law. They're a lot more high profile than I am. So a lot of times I tag along with them, and people have a lot of questions about what they're up to on the day to day. I also work really closely with the film industry. I started a business called Leased Luxury Properties to help people out during the recession that could not sell their home. So a lot of people are very curious about where I am, what I'm doing.
I've seen some of those properties too. I've seen them through your website and through your Twitter handles. One in particular really caught my attention, and I want to say it was called Blue Seal. It was a condo on
CL Blue.
Yeah, okay.
Blue Sky. It's actually a penthouse at the W downtown. At the time, my client, who also grew up in Buckhead, went to Westminster, graduated from Westminster, had bought a penthouse at the W downtown prior to the recession. And during the recession, I think, you know, the W had many different chapters, and it has a great new owner now. And so at that time, we were marketing that penthouse for film and video shoots. And we did a lot of video shoots. Some of them were at 3 a.m.
Wow.
Some of them were very last minute, but it was fun. And it gave my client a way to make a little extra money. I think it bought some interesting publicity to the W at that time. But now we don't really work that property anymore because what's happening is people are really looking for that long-term tenant. And that, luckily, there's a lot of executives moving to Atlanta.
Yes.
And there's also the film industry. So getting a really good quality tenant is not that difficult. But finding them a lot of times is through my social media. A lot of the film industry had to turn to the social media Craigslist to find people to help them find these properties, because they're not listed in the first multiple listing service. You won't find them on Zillow or Trulia. You have to kind of know somebody.
Well, so one thing I can definitely vouch for Rosina's quality of property is when we first launched the magazine, within our first year, we had an opportunity to do an outdoor entertaining right. issue, and Rosina was gracious enough to align us with one of the properties she was representing, and we did a beautiful shoot outdoors at that property. And thank you so much for that. We still get a lot of compliments on that particular piece, even though it was 3 years ago. So that was terrific. And I do want you to tell a little bit more about the movie industry leasing. You know, now that you have a very recognizable name, do the film industry folks come directly to you, or is it through the Film Commission here in Georgia, or just individuals and folks from the movie industry looking to film here?
I think it's a little of everything. I think, of course, my sister-in-law has been great about sending me clients. She has, you know, more time in front of the movie industry and the high net worth. But also, the film industry has been great. A lot of the film industry that I got to know early on in the leasing has returned 5, 6, 7 times. Some of them are even purchasing property here. And it's a small world. So once you kind of get them a result, they continue to call you. We have a penthouse down at 905 Juniper. We call it the Comedian Special because Will Ferrell lived there when he was filming, I think, Anchorman 2. Mm-hmm. And then Jim Carrey lived there while he was filming Dumb and Dumber.
Oh, boy.
So
now I get it. The Comedian's
We're waiting
condo.
To find out who our next tenant may be. We're actually listing that for sale in February. So wow. That'll be a cool place to go.
Well, going back to the movie industry, this year was a real banner year, I think, in productions coming here. Back in our January issue, we interviewed some folks who were sort of entrepreneurs and pioneers in their industries. And one of them was a gentleman who built a film studio in Grant Park. He lives in Buckhead, but built a film studio. And when he was interviewed, he told us there were 90 movie projects coming through in 2014. So there's been a lot of activity here, and I'm sure that's helped your business too.
It's just been fascinating. I never thought I would have a conversation about the aquarium with Demi Moore, which I have on the phone. It's fascinating to think. I just was a little Buckhead girl, never meant to sort of stumble into the film world, but it's here, and I think it's been great for a lot of my clients who were top heavy in their homes, and now we're successfully selling them. One of them we sold back in May, and it is the highest priced residential sale since 2011.
How high was that price?
$6.3 million.
Wow. Well, that's fantastic, and it definitely goes along with the boom that we're seeing here in Buckhead on many levels. And I did want to ask you about that property, so I'm glad you had brought it up. And one of the other things I know is very, very big in real estate are the videos of, you know, sort of the tours of the homes. Can you tell us about making those videos?
Well, we make them a little bit different, mostly because I have ADHD and I lose interest about 5 seconds into any video unless I'm learning something. So I continue to reach out to sort of notable architects, Norman Askins, Bill Harrison, and ask them to help me narrate our 60-second videos, sort of telling the story of not only the property, but the lifestyle. And the one that Norman Askins has recently narrated for us on a house in Ansley Park, which is a Neil Reed home, which I was lucky enough to grow up in a couple of Neil Reed homes. He really understood, which a lot of people don't understand anymore, is how important these older homes are to our character and to who we are and where we came from. And I think new homes are great, but there's just something very special about an older home, especially a Neil Reed older home in Ansley Park. So
we're totally in agreement with you on that. And I want to go back to something you were just speaking about, just being a girl from Buckhead. And every day I wake up and I still pinch myself because I feel like such an ordinary person and just having the privilege of doing some extraordinary things. And I think that's the way we look at our lives, and especially as women, I think it's a wonderful character to have, to feel humbled by the position we're in our lifetime. And I do want you to talk a little bit about, you know, your comments about how your mother taught you and what she taught you.
Well, she taught me how to be a modern-day Scarlett O'Hara, I think. Never take no for an answer. You know, tomorrow's another day. I could go on and on with the quotes, but basically what she did, which was fascinating at the time, I guess for her it was, she was very bright and she loved real estate. She loved the landmark trophy homes. And she'd park us in the driveway. She had four children. We'd just stare at the house and she'd pray and she'd tell us all we're going to live there one day. And sure enough, I mean, it took her about 10 years. We lived in Woodward Way in Haynes Manor for 10 years. And then we started the journey of moving every 2 years into a landmark home. Sometimes she sold them when my father was out of town. but she kept us moving. And she not only sold the home, she created a lifestyle inside the home with antiques. She traveled quite a bit and would bring antiques back from Europe and Asia and India. And she would dress in the costume of the house. And she'd sell the homes during parties or I don't even know how she sold them, probably in the grocery store line. But she sold them, and we moved quite a bit. But I learned from her that everything sells and to appreciate every day that you get to.
You commented on location, 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 and where you work and the things you get to see and the homes you go into are just fascinating, and they all come with a story. And it's beautiful that your mother exposed you to that when you were a child. It sort of formed your thinking about real estate as an adult, I assume.
Well, she would knock on the doors a lot of times on the houses she really wanted because she was dying to get in. And she would dress me up like a pageant girl. And she would tell them, my daughter would love to see your kitchen. She loves to cook. And she thinks it would be so much fun to cook here in your kitchen. And they would let us in. It was amazing. But they would let us in. And a few of them we moved into.
Wow. Not Southern sure hospitality, it really is true.
Well, it's true, and it shows you how friendly people are in Buckhead, and they're still that friendly. And I think everybody, I can't really remember how long we stayed. I do remember we moved into a few of those homes, and I did get to cook something in there. Wow. So,
well, I love it. I love the whole, you know, concept of staying local to community and being a part of it. Rutherford has told us that you folks grew up here. I think your grandfather is still here, and your dad, and it's very neat to see a family that's actually native because so many of us are transplants. So we really applaud you for your work locally in the real estate industry. And as I said, I've known your name for several years, and we've been back and forth on Twitter with each other and never met. But what I do want to do is have you let our audience know how they can find you, Facebook, website, Twitter, Instagram, any of those things. We'd love to hear about all of them.
Okay, well, just depending on what you're looking for, Rosina Atlanta is my Twitter, my personal Twitter. I also have ATL Lifestyles, which I try to, I actually created for the movie industry and a lot of my international clients because I couldn't find a place where I could put everything that I knew was happening around town. I didn't know what to do with it. So I just started putting it on this Twitter account. And I think now I'm close to 4,000 followers that are pretty active and they contact me and ask me questions. So my children make fun of me that I have all these followers because I tell them that you should listen to me because I have over 20,000 followers and somebody's interested.
You also give a lot of very good advice about the real estate market in general. It's not just about your own properties. You retweet and post a lot of things that are relevant to people in the market who are looking to buy or to sell. And having good, solid information is very key, I think, to your social media. So
I think it's really important that you work with an agent, number one. I think that we're here to protect you and make sure that you don't get yourself in trouble. And then, you know, I think also it's good to educate yourself on Zillow and Trulia and see what's going on out there. But I can promise you a lot of that information is incorrect. So that's one thing I like to point out in my social media post is, you know, ask questions and you'll make a good purchase. But do remember location, location, mm-hmm. location. That didn't just come out of nowhere.
Correct. Thank you so much, Rosina. I have looked forward to having you on, and I'm thrilled that you could be with us on our second show.
Thank you.
I see her name everywhere, and Rosina is with Dorsey Alston Realtors, and they have been reading our magazine for 4.5 years, so we're thrilled to have you on their behalf, too.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. And we're going to move on next to our second guest, Jessica Camerata.
Hello.
Her company is My Style Vita. And what Jessica does is blogging. And I loved reading about her background. Jessica, I'm going to have you expound a little bit on your background. It's quite interesting how you started and got into the blogging world.
Well, I've always had a love for fashion ever since I was little. So when I got into, you know, my first job out of college, I was doing revenue accounting, and I hated it. It wasn't for me. I really knew I wanted to do something different. So I just kind of started interning at a local online boutique here called Les Nouvelles, which is now a great big online boutique, and they're very successful. And they hired me on free intern. I really wasn't doing very much, but they inspired me so much because they were just doing what they loved and they were making it work. And it was just two women who just like, they rocked it. They killed it. So I was like, you know what? I can do this too. So I decided I'd always loved to write too. So I figured let me combine my love of writing and fashion and start a blog, which I really didn't even know what a blog was. I was just told to start a portfolio.
You pioneered it.
I guess so. No, I wish I did.
You helped in the pioneering phase.
I think so. I like to think that's true. But, you know, I realized that if I do like to write, so let me start a portfolio. And I just started writing on a blog, which I really didn't know what I was even doing. And then I was sort of stumbling onto other sites. And I was like, what are these people doing? They're taking photos of their outfits. And I could tell that, you know, there was money being made and it was really truly a business. So it just sort of grew into what it is now, which is a really, you know, successful fashion lifestyle blog. And in addition to that, I also started Southern Blog Society, which is a network of over 350 bloggers across the Southeast. So it's just really exciting what's kind of grown from it.
Well, it is quite a history you have, and I'm always fascinated by people who end up in the blogosphere, and they have other, you know, passions that they've had, and that's always a recurring theme for me is people being passionate about what they're doing. And I see here on your bio that you are also about to launch another society, another blogger
society?
Well,
we just launched back in September, Southwest Blog Society. We get so many emails from Southern Blog Society in our inbox saying, when are you going to launch in California or Texas? And so finally we were like, all right, it's time to finally do it. We've been doing Southern Blog Society for a year and a half, and it's proven to be a great success. So on to the next one, and hopefully we'll launch the Northeast.
I was
going to
ask you, when was Northeast coming? I'm a Rhode Islander, so I'm all for that. New England gets it for me.
Hopefully 2015, we'll see maybe one more pop up, but it's just myself and my co-founder, Poor Little It Girl, who also has a blog. So it's just her and I running it ourselves. So it's a lot of work, but it's fun.
Well, and I do see that you also work a 9-to-5 job.
I do.
So you're a busy girl, and you also work out at CrossFit, Flywheel, Fly Bar, and hang out with your Boston Terrier.
Mm-hmm. My Boston
That's
Terrier
the fun
pork.
Part. They never talk back, and they love you every day.
They do.
But boy, I don't know how you fit in all of your workouts. I find it hard to get in two a week.
It's getting tough, I think, with the holidays. It's already starting to kind of fall to the wayside, but it's okay.
Well,
it happens.
I'm glad that you brought up the holidays because, yes, we are in November.
Yes.
We're in the middle of November, and some of the things that Jessica will be blogging about over the next 6 to 8 weeks are holiday entertaining.
Yes.
So why don't you tell us what you're looking at for
well,
that?
Well, I'm actually thinking about doing, last year I did a Chrismukkah party because I'm half Jewish, half Catholic, so I did a little bit of both. So this year I kind of wanted to focus on a true Hanukkah party. None of my friends have ever been to a Hanukkah dinner, so I think I'm going to do something like that for my home and then also featured on the blog. So just a great way to have friends over, make a nice light meal, have great cocktails, and just, you know, make it really simple and also feature on the blog so people can get inspired to host at home because it's very easy. You don't have to go out and spend a lot of money, and it's just a great way to get everybody together for the holidays.
Well, since I was brought up Jewish, I'm going to ask if you make your potato latkes by hand or by mix.
So my grandmother has always, I believe, made them by hand, but she has warned me if I'm going to have a group of people over to not even bother doing it in my 900 square foot apartment because it'll smell like grease for a week. So
yes.
I think I may have to do store-bought for this party. So just don't tell my grandmother I told you that.
I won't. You better hope she doesn't listen
right
to this as we play it back. What are some of the holiday appetizers that you can recommend for us that are easy and healthy?
Sure. So one of my favorite go-tos is just making a really great cheese plate. You know, stick to three or four great cheeses, one or two hards and one soft, and then mixing in some great nuts or dried fruit is a really, you know, easy way to just kind of, you know, feed a few people. And then also making some really simple ones where you can slice up some apples with a little bit of blue cheese wrapped in prosciutto. Mm. Lots of different things you can do. It doesn't have to be difficult. Maybe two or three ingredients is really all you need for some easy appetizers.
We love the charcuterie platters. Mm, we seem to be ordering
favorite.
Them every time we go out.
Me too.
And we have a big, beautiful butcher block at home, and that's what we've been serving our appetizers every time we have company. And you can throw in some fig
and that's fantastic.
Some other spreads in there, and that has been our go-to. What about holiday outfits? What kinds of clothes are we looking at?
Sure. So I think we're all kind of guilty of wanting to go out and splurge on a brand new party dress for the holidays, for your work party. And you know, I'm a big advocate of use what you already have and maybe just spruce it up a little bit. So one of my favorite tips for holiday outfits is to just take your favorite little black dress. It can even just be an office dress that you kind of wear all the time, and just throw on a great sparkly embellished belt or a nice great necklace, and just switching out your shoes to something a little more sexy is a great way to update it. And that way you don't have to spend a ton of money, and you've got a few great accessories that you can always pull from too in the future.
I think I'm your prime reader because I have done that. I actually did that at an event recently.
Yeah, it's a great way to get more use out of your closet. There's no reason to go out and spend a ton more money. It's nice to maybe splurge a little bit here and there, but if you're in a pinch, just throw on a great embellished belt and a great necklace and you're done.
My husband would agree with you on that. He always tells me the stores I love are out of business, trying to keep me out of the shoe stores and buying new dresses. Well, let's talk about other fall trends, because while Christmas and New Year's and Hanukkah are just around the corner, we're actually still in fall.
I know.
I'm seeing everybody wearing their leggings and boots, which I love, because clothes that feel like pajamas
it's
get my vote every time.
Yeah. Well, but my only thing to say to that is if you are going to wear leggings, please just make sure your bum is covered.
Yes.
I can't stand that. Oh, it's the worst.
I know.
But I do love leggings. Leggings with a great long tunic or long chunky sweater is a really great way to just, feel really fall-ish and still be super comfortable. Another great trend is the buffalo plaid, or the classic plaid or tartan is really popular right now. You're seeing it in everything from even jeans to shirts and scarves and jackets. So that's one of my favorite prints right now. Also, I think capes have been, a runway trend for a while, and we haven't seen them come into the marketplace until more recently that are more affordable. So that's a great way to update your closet, switch out your regular coat for a really cool cape. You'll just feel instantly kind of chicer and a little bit more cooler.
Oh, my goodness. She is a girl after my own heart, because I have a fabulous red wool cape.
Oh, wow.
That I have had for years. And it seems like every few seasons I pull it out and people say, are you Little Red Riding Hood?
Oh, no. You need to wear that. That is definitely.
Oh, it is fabulous.
Yeah.
It is fabulous. But you are expounding on all of the things that I love personally. Let's go back to leggings for one moment, because
sure.
As somebody who now has quite an arsenal of leggings, is there an age at which you feel they are appropriate, inappropriate, or is it for everybody?
I really think it is for everybody. My sister, she's going to kill me for saying this, but she once wore a light gray legging with a beautiful pink dress, and I just wanted to kill her. I'm like, I know that you're young and have a great body, but please just get rid of the gray leggings. Like, let's all just stick to blacks, charcoals, really dark hues, kind of pretend that they're your jeans, like a dark indigo, and then just sort of, add from there. But I think as long as your bum is covered, no one wants to see your Britney, just cover it up. I think as long as you're doing that and keeping it sophisticated everywhere else, you should be fine at any age. I don't think it matters.
Absolutely. As I'm looking at Rich right now, I think he's having a heart attack over here with listening to three women having conversation about clothes and real estate.
Well,
and
down during the roundtable, I was going to ask about maybe if there's any advice for men's clothing. But on the your sister's choice, isn't that like the Good and Plenty color scheme? Doesn't that work or whatever?
It is, no. But I just don't think it worked for her. She's got a great body, but please just get rid of the gray leggings.
And speaking, I'm sorry to interrupt here, but I was at Kroger the other day and there was a girl doing that. I'm like, do you realize you're not at home, whatever?
Right.
It's a little,
Yeah.
Anyway.
I think everything should just be nice and covered. They're still pants, but you still have to keep things covered.
Fantastic advice. I had to ask that about the age appropriateness. And one thing I will say, I'm trying to make sure that Rich isn't, having a conniption here, but all of our shows are not women. We do have men. We have invited some really incredible athletes to join us in the coming weeks. And our last show, we had Sean Witherspoon on, and I was at Sean's event last night, and he is just a warm-hearted, gentle, very, very very philanthropic, and we were at this fundraiser for his charity, and I know that tens of thousands of dollars were raised. We were the recipients of an African safari. Ooh, but we plan to have some athletes on board, and I was told I should have an athlete from one of our local teams because the Falcons won after we had Sean on.
Yeah.
So,
So this is not the radio version of The View, is what you're saying?
No, right?
This is
not
to
at
be
all.
Confused. Yeah,
not at all. These are three dynamic ladies, all very talented and very good at what they do, and we knew that our local listeners would love to hear from each and every one of them. Jessica, tell me about how you post. Are you weekly? Are you daily?
Sure.
And on which of your social media platforms do you use?
So I'm active on, I think, every platform possible right now. But on my blog specifically, mystylevita.com, I post outfits, I post recipes, home decor inspiration, and some beauty favorites. And I'm going to post at least probably 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, and occasionally a little Saturday steal post for a really great sale item. And then you'll see me all over Facebook, Pinterest, Instagram, and Twitter. I really love Instagram. I think it's one of my favorites. It's a great way to kind of show behind the scenes of what goes on, and I get to showcase my dog and everything that goes on behind the scenes. It's fun. But on those platforms, I'm posting all day throughout the day, so you can sort of see what's going on all the time.
That's fantastic. And would you please tell our audience exactly what your title is on all of your platforms?
It's going to be the same across all of them. It's My Style Vita.
Okay, mm-hmm. Very nice. Is there anything else that you feel we should know as an audience and getting ready to enter the holidays or over the next month, things we should be paying attention to? And
I think it's time, it is November, so my recommendation to everybody is get rid of the open-toed shoes and start embracing your fall boots. And, I know it's still 75 degrees out, but it doesn't mean you need to dress like it's summertime. You need to dress in light layers and really embrace the season. So that's my number one tip for right now. I think Atlanta can sometimes still wear flip-flops through to December, so I ask you to not do that.
Well, we can do that at home, but
right.
We can't do it when we're out and about in Buckhead, that's for sure, because people will be saying, you can't wear white after Labor Day. Do you ascribe to that?
No, I think you can wear white after Labor Day. I think it really depends on the fabric. Please don't wear a white linen dress in the middle of December, but if you're wearing a beautiful wool white coat, that's awesome. So I think it really, you can break the rules, but you just have to be conscious of what season you're in and really relate that to the types of fabrics that you're wearing. Same thing with the shoes. If it's November, get rid of the flip-flops, bring in the ankle booties, something that you can really transition from, the warmer temperatures.
As a former New Englander, actually my native region, it's very interesting. I prefer to be in sandals or flip-flops, and when I'm at home, I'm still doing that because it's so much more comfortable here throughout the season, and even for a few weeks we get the cold weather, but beyond that, it seems like you can pretty much be open-toed all year. So I don't do it when I'm in town, when I'm dressed or at an event, but boy, when I'm at home, those flip-flops stay on year-round.
That's fine.
Where are you from originally?
I'm originally from New York. I moved around a bit. So my whole family is from New York. I consider myself a New Yorker. And then I lived in Montreal, Quebec for 7 years. I learned to speak French. I figure skated and then moved to Portland, Oregon when I was 10. Learned how to be a great hippie, wore Birkenstocks and made hemp necklaces. And then when I was 16, I moved here to Atlanta. So I've been here for 11 years, been here for a while.
Wow. Well, I liked the Montreal part. My mother is from Montreal and still
nice.
A Canadian citizen.
Oh, wow.
She's been in this country for over 55 years and has not taken her American citizenship. So I appreciate that. And that's a great city. That's a stylish city. Mm-hmm. Those ladies know how to dress. Well, thank you so much, Jessica. It's been awesome to talk to you. And since we had met through the Twitterverse before and not actually met in person, it's a lot of fun to have you in the studio as well. And at the end, I think we're going to have a really nice round table with three ladies in the room. So I'm thrilled to get to Sandra now and Sandra Grimaldi Colley.
Yes, ma'am.
Our next guest. And as I mentioned earlier, we met Sandra and her husband, Chris, through our affiliation with Cure Childhood Cancer. And I didn't know anything about Sandra until until then, and I'm really thrilled to know her. She is known by Sandra Grimaldi and also Sandra Grimaldi Colley, and she's a singer who moved here from New York almost 6 years ago while making her first record. So I want to know about your first record.
Well, it's not for sale. That's first. I was a senior in college, and I ended up meeting a man that had a management company based in Atlanta, and he had been from the Northeast as well. And so he had been there in business, and we met, and he had a partner with him. I gave him a business card, and he called me a few weeks later, and kind of the rest is history. And I signed my contract and flew back and forth from Atlanta to New York my entire senior year of college. And after I graduated, I think I really need to just go to Atlanta and just be there for 3 to 4 months, because I had renewed my contract and things were kind of taking a long time. So I was like, I'll just, you know, whatever I can fit in my little Scion, and my cat is coming with me, and I'm going to Atlanta for 4 months. I'm finishing my record, and then I'll go back to New York. And that was 6 years ago. I'm still here.
So I'm going to take a guess and say that you met Chris here.
I did meet him here.
And Chris is a native?
He is, believe it or not.
I know, there's two natives in this room here.
There are very few.
Well, and I have a similar story, actually. I was roped into moving to Atlanta for love, and I love it here myself now. And when I left, everybody thought I was crazy for leaving my friends and family, my beautiful home near the beach, and all that good stuff. But I wouldn't trade it for anything. I love Atlanta.
Yeah, it's grown on me. It was difficult at first, just being from New York and being so used to the New York lifestyle. And New York City is very different from Atlanta. And I didn't grow up or live in the city, but I was about, 30 miles outside and spent a lot of time there and went to school there. And so it was different, but I like it now.
Well, and I know that you work as a model. Can you tell us who you're with? Are you with
I am. I'm actually signed with Click Models, which is really awesome, because when I did modeling in New York, it was a lot more difficult for me to really, really get on board with a great agency. And I kind of did a lot more freelance, and I signed with a couple small independent agencies, and it just kind of wasn't working out for me there, because I feel like in New York it's so high fashion and you have to be 5'10 or 6 foot, and I'm clearly not that. I'm more of a commercial lifestyle. Yes. I'm 5'7, I'm not 6 feet, so it's been great. I've really begun to find my niche here. So
I love that too. Yeah. Because we know Brandon Lewis, of course, has become a friend and an advertiser.
Yes.
And Brandon is one of the owners of Click.
Absolutely.
And Joy Purvis.
Mm-hmm.
So we know those folks.
Yeah,
and
they're great.
They actually led us to Morgan Saylor, who we had on a cover of our Rising Stars issue back in 2012.
Wow.
And Morgan, of course, was one of Joy's talent. Mm-hmm. And she was on the Showtime series Homeland.
Oh, wow.
So we definitely love that agency and love working with Brandon, the establishment. We had a great party a couple of weeks ago celebrating the men's issue. Mm-hmm. And Paul Millsap on the cover.
Awesome.
So we like them very much. And I do want you to talk about how you got involved with Cure. As I said, we've met you through there. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to know how you became affiliated with them.
Actually, Linda Tarana and Steve McCoy are friends of Chris and I, and we met them through church. Linda's a small group leader there, and my husband and I lead worship throughout the North Point community campuses. And one day they came to us and they're like, we have this organization that we work for, and we'd really love for you to be a part of it, so let's go to dinner and we'll talk about it. So we went to dinner, and they told us all about it, and we were immediately hooked, of course, and just having a love for and just a really, really compassionate heart for these children that are going through things like cancer, and being affiliated with other organizations who try to help families and children who are going through cancer. So it was a no-brainer for us. And the first big event that we went to was their the inaugural Believe Ball to raise money for them back last May. And we had a blast, and Chris sang.
Yes, I loved his voice when I heard him sing that day.
What a wonderful world he sang that.
And well, and then Sandra's being very humble here. She sang with Chris at the recent Quiet Heroes event.
Yeah.
And we actually, our first event was the Quiet Heroes in 2012.
Wow.
And we were asked to be the media sponsor for that particular year. And after that event, which we left in tears, we offered them the next week to be their media partner year-round. And so
That's
you
amazing.
See ads for Cure Childhood Cancer in every one of our issues. We try to be as involved as possible. We love working with Kristen. And so we are very grateful to have you and Chris involved in that particular charity. But
Thank
I also
you.
Know that that is not the only charity you're involved with. So I'd love to hear a little bit more about some of the others you do.
Well, I guess we can start with, since we're talking about just, children and childhood cancer, the Rally Foundation is another organization that Chris and I have been really blessed to be a part of, and really, of course, just so thankful that we're even able to help, even if it's just a little bit. And one of the things that I did recently was I ran a marathon in April in Nolan Blake's name. And he had been fighting brain cancer for 5 years, and such a young boy, and it was so sad that we lost him in June. But the great thing was that, you know, he lived very loudly, you know, as a lot of young kids do. And so I was able to raise awareness and raise money for Rally through social media, and people supported me on my run, and it was just a really, really great time, and it was for a really great cause. So Rally is one of the organizations that we also support and like to be part of their events and use our talents to try to raise money. Also, as Mrs. Georgia United States, my platform was the Sudden Arrhythmia Death Syndrome Foundation. That's a mouthful, I know.
Wow.
Yeah, it's hard for me to really, really explain it to people because there's so much that goes into everything. I mean, there are, you know, over 400,000 people a year that are diagnosed with some type of a heart condition. And the SADS Foundation focuses on a number of them, one of them being long QT syndrome, mm-hmm. which is what my best friend at age 21 passed away from suddenly. So she just literally was here 1 minute and gone the next. And so it was a sudden death. And I got affiliated with them at that time. And I really learned about what an arrhythmia was and all of these things that could happen because of these undetected heart conditions. So when you're a SADS patient, you've got an undetected heart condition that falls under one of maybe five categories, and about 30% of people who are tested for it, it won't show up on the first testing or second testing or third testing. And sometimes you just have to go get tested regularly if you have a family history of certain heart conditions or someone in your family has suddenly passed away for an unknown reason. And it's something that we hear a lot about. I think a lot of times it gets overlooked, but I'm pretty sure if I asked any of you, you would say yes to this question. Have you ever heard of an athlete, a high school student, football practice, just all of a sudden died in the middle of football
practice?
Absolutely.
And we see a mm-hmm. lot of it in there, you know, during sports and the heat.
Yep.
You know, mm-hmm. and they aren't sure where it comes from, but
yeah, and a lot of times it's a SADS condition. So I spent years up until I was Mrs. Georgia just trying to tell people about it and being part of their awareness campaigns through social media and doing things like bringing cutouts of a little man named Flat Bob and taking pictures all over the world in the country when I was performing and posting it. So people go, what's that? And they look it up. So that's another one. And there's so many more that we love to be part of.
I'm glad. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad to hear that, because we are all about being philanthropic and involved in charitable organizations, and have a great respect for those folks who are.
Thank you.
And I'm assuming that your experience as Mrs. Georgia United States in 2013-14 mm-hmm. opened a lot of doors.
Absolutely.
And allowed you a great platform to be able to bring your message to other folks.
It really, really did. It really did.
Well, tell me what you're doing with your singing.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, well, I spent the last 4 years, you know, when I moved to Atlanta and I was recording, and we had some amazing deals on the table with major labels. And so just hanging out with all the right people and thinking like, you're so close. And I kind of put that to bed for a little while. I have my E! True Hollywood story, as we all do. I think every artist
does. Tell us about some of the artists that you have worked with.
I've actually worked with a lot of the people that work with Neo at Compound. So when I was recording, I did a lot of work with them. Kevin Kendrick, he was MD for Madonna for a long time. I've worked with him. Chuck Harmony, you hear him on the radio now. I mean, he works with so many artists. Turn the radio on, one of his songs are on. He's a producer. I worked with him. But after that, I decided that I was going to kind of put the recording thing away for, my plan was 2 years, and just get back to performing and doing what I love and, you know, finding myself on stage again. And I ended up doing it for 4, and I was fortunate enough to tour with the number one booked party band in the country. And we toured and we opened for Diana Ross, and Jay Leno opened for us, and we played with Pat Benatar and Train. And every year we played for Donald Trump's New Year's Eve party at Mar-a-Lago. And I kind of joke with them because I wasn't with them last year for this past New Year's, and they didn't do the show. And I'm like, it's because I wasn't there. So I've been so blessed. And like you said before, just an ordinary girl, so humbled, getting to do extraordinary things.
I know. I pinch myself every day. Yeah. I still laugh at the things we get to do. I just can't believe my blessings, say every single day. And I don't want to take any of it for advantage, not one thing.
Absolutely not. And I would love to get back to recording. So it's in the future. I'm kind of working on some ideas for putting out an EP, hopefully in the next year.
Saw you singing together with Chris, we thought you should be playing together. I believe it was announced at the event that these two kids have a future in music together. So we love to hear that. And I'm also seeing that you are working on getting a personal training certification in your spare time, I guess.
Yeah, all of my spare time. I have so much of it. I am. I'm actually focusing on ACE. And I took a course at Body Design University in Vinings in March, which was so awesome and so helpful. And it was about 50 hours hands-on in classroom. So that was a great place for me to kind of get my jump start. And now I'm just, you know, when I have time, I'm in the books, because my passion outside of music and entertainment, nothing will replace that. But I think the second best thing is just really, really helping people live better, healthy and fit lifestyles, and inspiring, especially women, to just know that it's just because you feel like you're at a place where you've never been, like, there's always a way to come back. There's always a way to get better. And it's not going to be overnight, but I want to help people do that. So
that goes right along with your philosophy of charitable and, you know, philanthropic efforts. And can you tell our audience how they can find you or follow you or see you shoot out a note to you, anything?
Okay, yeah. On Facebook, I've got a couple different pages. If you're interested in what I've done as Mrs. Georgia United States, there is my Facebook page, which is facebook.com/ Mrs. Georgia United States. And then there is just my regular page. You can look up Sandra Grimaldi and you'll find my music page in there. And my Twitter handle is @SandraGrimaldi. And so is my Instagram.
And I do want to ask you about two other things. When you were Mrs. Georgia United States 2013, you had a rookie status, is what your bio says, and you placed in the top 10 at the national pageant. Mm-hmm. How much preparation do you have to do for these pageants?
Probably more than I did.
That's because you were a rookie.
Yeah. Which actually probably helped me. It's a lot, because there's so much that goes into preparing for this one moment or these couple hours or couple days on stage. But the big picture is more important. So you're not just preparing to win this crown and win this title. You're actually like interviewing for a year-long job. And I think that's the part that gets overlooked by the public. And understandably so, because we only put on TV and social media the cool stuff. And that's, you know, what you look like in a swimsuit and an evening gown and what you say on stage. But the real important is how you interviewed and who you are truly, so the judges get to see that. So the focus is a lot on, of course, you know, making sure you're staying healthy and on your game and knowing everything that's going on in your community, being really, really active, but just really getting the judges to understand who you are as a person. And so essentially it's like preparing for a job interview, except it's like 5 months of preparation.
I don't think I have ever heard anybody who's competed in a pageant speak about that. And when you win the title in Georgia, what things were you doing over the course of that year, since it was a year-long job?
Really just being as active as I could. Anything that was important to me or important to somebody close to me, I really, really try to be a part of, because you've got one good year to really say, this is my platform, and use your title to be a good ambassador for the community that you live in. So raising awareness, being part of fundraising campaigns, being at events, just being present really, really spoke to the audience that was, you know, there to see you or be there to support a cause, because they feel like they can connect when you have a title, you know. So wow. I try to use that as for good.
Do you make your own schedule, or do they make a schedule for you and you're expected to make appearances?
I actually did make my own schedule. That is the plus side to being a Mrs. over a Miss. So they say, you're a Mrs., you're married, I trust you to make your own schedule. So it's really up to you to make a good impression on the people that you're accountable to. Which, reasonably so, you know, you're married, you should be able to multitask and do that.
Well, you have made a definite impression on us, and we felt so from the first time we met you, and have been in the same room with you on several occasions, and I'm sure there will be many more in the future. Grateful to have Sandra on today. And at some point, we hope to have her husband, Chris, on as well. Chris was a competitor in The Voice's second season. And I believe, was he runner-up?
No, he actually made it through to the battle round. So that was before they had steals and all that stuff. But speaking of The Voice, I'm going to do a little plug real
quick. Yes, please do.
His best friend, James David Carter, he's on Team Blake. He's doing very well.
We saw him. We liked him. And the funny part about that, I think his girlfriend is the daughter of one of my neighbors.
Kelly. Really?
So
small world.
Small world.
Go vote for James, because if Chris couldn't win, James can win because that would be the next best thing because that's his one of his best friends. So vote for James, Team Blake, hashtag Team JDC. You're welcome.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Sandra. And
thank you.
Would love to chat with everybody for just a few minutes about what they foresee in their 2015 future. We'll start with Rosina.
Oh, well, I see that I'll be very busy. Probably won't see my boyfriend very often, but I'm looking forward to a very active real estate year. I think we deserve it, and I think it's just people are bored. It's time to move. Everybody try a different lifestyle on for a while.
And I know that you do a lot of work with international buyers here in Atlanta, and that definitely seems to be on the upswing in Buckhead at this time, too.
It's good news.
It's yeah, real good news. It used to be sort of like a urban myth, urban legend, but it's for real now. I'm contemplating taking a beginner course in Chinese Mandarin. So
that is not a bad idea. Wow. They offer that now in some of the high schools, some of the private school high schools.
Yeah.
And there are actually private schools that teach that here. And it is definitely a valuable tool, probably almost as much as Spanish now. How about you, Jessica? What do you see in 2015?
In 2015, I would just really love to see my blog grow even more and hopefully launch another region, whether it's the Northeast with the blog societies or the Midwest. Yeah, I'm having feelings either Northeast or Midwest. You get a lot of emails from both of those regions. I'm not sure if anybody's up in the Northwest, but and then my goal for 2015 is honestly to finally learn how to relax. I haven't been on a vacation all year long, so in 2015, I'd really love to just kind of relax and really take a week for myself at some point.
Well, what you have to do, I think, is create all those blog posts and tweets and Instagram posts and Pinterest. I don't know how you keep it all in order. It is such a major task
a lot of work
to do it. Mm-hmm. But you have to do it all ahead so that you can go away and not worry about it. It just schedules itself.
Which I do a lot because I do have a day job. So, you know, I do have to focus on that throughout the day. So I do like to get everything scheduled in advance, which helps. But it's nice to, you know, have the whole week to kind of just relax and wind down.
Well, that day job of yours is working in fashion and clothing as well.
It is,
so I'm sure that helps in what you write about.
Yeah, I work for Alternative Apparel, which is ironically the first blog post I ever did on my blog, which was before I even worked there. So I just thought that was kind of interesting how, you know, the whole positive energy and, you know, the more you think about great things, they actually do happen. So like with you, with, you know, sitting in front of the beautiful homes. Maybe I should start doing that.
It works.
You get
it
to
works.
Go into
go
stores and stare at the clothes and the perfume.
I'll take
and
that
jewelry.
First. Thank you. So, yeah, it's nice. You know, I work for a great company and they're local here also. So it's nice, you know, and they support the blog as well. I remember my CEO was telling me, he's like, yeah, I was on your blog the other day. And I'm like, that's crazy. But okay, thank you. Wow. So it's nice.
Well, you know that people are paying attention when they comment on it.
Yeah, which is always nice. I love to hear from everybody, which is a great part about social media.
Yeah. We walked into this event last night and, you know, of course, there were about 12 of Sean's teammates there. And when we said who we were, that we were from Simply Buckhead, they were like, oh, yeah, you've been tweeting all about Sean the last week. And I know you had him on your radio show. So all of that social media plugging definitely works.
Mm-hmm,
and it also didn't hurt that my phone has a case on it that says Simply Buckhead. And every time we held it up to take a picture, everyone knew who we were. So, Sandra, what about you? 2015 goals, ideas, fun things?
Well, I think after listening to this today, I'm going to have Jessica and Rosina come help me decorate my house and dress me. I just need some help. My ideals for 2015 is really to work on some new music. I feel like it's been a long time coming, and I've grown so much since I moved to Atlanta. I mean, you know, I'm a New York apple, but I'm an apple with a little fuzz on it now, you know? So new music for sure. And, you know, get my personal training up and going.
Well, you'll be a great trainer. You have a great personality and you're very motivating. So I think that would be a great endeavor for you.
Thank you.
How about you ladies? Anybody help each other? Or you guys have some great synergy going on. And Rich, what do you think? You're in a room full of women.
This is my new favorite show. I'm canceling all my other shows. Yeah. I do have a couple of thoughts or questions or comments. I was just making some notes and lots of activity on social media. We were tweeting and retweeting live during the show. So it's pretty cool. For Rosina, is that how you pronounce your name?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I thought the classic takeaway there was just, I almost had to turn off my microphone and go in the corner and laugh, was that he said that your mom had sold Jarl's house when your dad was out of town. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. That's just yeah. like serious. That really happens. I mean, that's a chapter in a book right there. Yeah,
it was the house across the street. So we literally walked with our boxes. My mother had a rule that you can only take what you could fit in the box. So yeah. I learned really quickly to live a Buddha-like experience. But,
so you moved, you bought the house and moved across the street, and then mm-hmm. so you had neighbors
on West Paces Ferry
that lived across from you. That's like that movie, isn't that a movie about the restaurant across the street in somewhere in France or Italy or whatever? But
one's Indian and one is French, yeah. something. Yeah.
But speaking of French, and I think y'all could team up with Sandra and Jessica because you said you want to learn a different language or French. There you go, whatever, right?
I lost a lot of my French. It's unfortunate when I moved here. I was too young, and I forgot it all. I went to Paris, was it last year, and struggled. It was so embarrassing.
I think you learn best, though, when you're immersed in it.
I think someone needs to to learn. Yeah, someone needs to just, like, drop me in the middle of Paris and leave me there for, like, 3 months and maybe pay for everything, and then that would be, exactly. it would come right back.
And the clothes. She'll be very happy to write about it all. The clothes, that, the fashion. Right.
That little part about paying for everything. Yeah. Maybe you can give Donald Trump a call and help out with that.
I'll call him. Well, I think Sandra can help with that because she sang for Donald for 4 years.
Yeah, I definitely got to ask you about that. But first of all, back to the, I'm not much of a fashion person. You can see basic black and white, but
hey, very classic, but, very classic.
Okay, there you go. Nice save. But this thing about people wearing shorts, that's just my pet peeve. Like, it'd be 30 degrees outside, right? The dead of winter, and they're wearing shorts. And I don't know, it's an attitude thing. Like, yeah, I'm big, I can handle that. But I'm like, I want to go up and ask the guy, like, so do you wear sweats and jackets during the summer? I mean, it's just like, you know, it's one thing if it's fall and you're kind of in between, but
I think because we're in the South, I think a lot of people think it's okay to just get away with it. And I think I'm guilty of it too, but you know, you can embrace the fall weather by wearing, you know, if it is, today's like a great example, it's 70 something degrees today. So, okay, wear shorts, but maybe instead of wearing flip flops, wear like ankle booties and a great lightweight sweater.
No, I'm it'll be like snow flurries outside.
Just
exactly. Thank you. Thank you.
Stupid.
Yeah. Okay. And then, what was I going to say? Something. Oh, cause I'm from Miami, from Florida. But my cousins down there, it'll drop below 70. It'll be 68, and they got jackets.
And they got jackets.
On.
Yeah,
I'm crazy. Like that. I swear, I'm always cold. Yeah. I run cold.
And then finally, sorry to hijack your show, whatever.
No, that's okay. Love the questions.
Just, for Sandra, I'm a huge Trump fan. I've watched every episode. I think of Celebrity. Apprentice, well, the original Apprentice was great. We actually had a guest on here from The Apprentice, but. So can I get his cell number and text after
sure.
off the air? So
yeah.
So you got some great stories about that. 4 years, New Year's Eve?
Yeah, it was a blast.
Is it a pretty tame party, out of control, or?
You know, it's actually not so bad. Regis is always there.
Yeah.
1 year he had hip surgery, so he wasn't, he wasn't dancing as much. But Rod Stewart was there.
Wow.
He was great. He was.
He didn't
great
do a
guy.
Duet with you, jump up on
no,
stage?
No,
or?
No,
come
he
on.
Didn't. He actually was pretty impressed with our band, and I was like, Rod Stewart, things were good.
Yeah. Game over.
And for those of you that are listening and are wondering, because I know you are, yes, Donald Harris. It's
that's
real.
Legit.
It's
I wasn't going to ask that.
Wow. She didn't. You didn't even ask
didn't
that
even
question,
ask
but
she
I
just
know.
Offered it.
She's
I
probably got
know.
That a few times.
I,
or whatever.
Yeah, I already know that's going to be the next thing.
And then finally, the James David. I was watching. I'm like The Voice. I was watching that last night. And so I don't know you.
Yeah,
know him and
yeah.
He sang a Garth Brooks song last
he
night.
He sure did. Yeah, he's awesome. Him and my husband play together a lot, and James even sang a few songs at our wedding. I'm pretty sure the whole night Chris and James were like hijacking the microphone
right,
at our reception, and I think I got in there for the last song, and that was it. Yeah, it was a
well,
good
you're
time.
Supposed to be enjoying that day, not working, so I think that was probably a good choice.
Yeah.
I have no further questions for the panel yet.
Okay, well, ladies, it has been lovely. Rosina Seidel from Dorsey Alston Realtors, and at ATL Lifestyles, at Rosina Atlanta, and Jessica Camerata from My Style Vita, at My Style Vita on all platforms, and Sandra Grimaldi-Cawley, so great to meet you in person here in the studio today and have some more time with you personally.
Love it.
And thanks so much for being here.
Great
thank
show
you
number two.
Thank
You're
you.
On a roll.
Thank you. Thank you.
See you next time on Simply Buckhead Radio.